of the greatest weapon we have for breakthrough is really worship, is praise, is celebration. It's one of the only ways we really tell God how grateful we are. Amen? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. We are blessed this morning. Every year we have different missionaries come to Cleveland, and many of them have become family. They become friends, and God has used many of them to really impact our lives. And one of those ministers that always, every year he comes, has really become a great inspiration to me and to Mount Zion. He's with us this morning. We were really blessed last night, yesterday, at the training that we had. Amen? Everybody's called to be a leader. Amen? God created everybody to be a leader. Amen? So we're really blessed yesterday, and we thank God for his obedience. So this morning, thank God for he's with us, and he's a missionary, a Nigerian missionary in Gambia, but now you're back in Nigeria, and you're working both sides. So without taking more further time, we really want to give him some time to share his heart with us and what the Lord wants to say to us as a church. Amen. Pastor Felix, thank you so much for the way God used you last night.
Praise the Lord. Are we excited to be in God's presence this morning? Let's shout a big hallelujah. The Lord is good. I'm so happy to be in your midst this morning, and so glad to be part of what God is doing in this assembly. I think I started coming to the U.S. the year 2010, and by divine arrangement, God made me to know Pastor Mike, and since that time, there's no way I will come to Cleveland. I won't fellowship with the brethren here. And I'm so glad for what God is doing through this church, through this ministry, and through the servant of God and his wife, and through all the church family. We give all the glory to him. Because of time, let me just hit the ground running. Let's pray. Father Lord, we gather together once again to worship you, to thank you for the gift of life. Lord, we really appreciate what you are doing in our lives as an individual and as a family. If not for your mercy and your grace, we will have become history. But because your mercies endure forever, not because of our righteousness, not because we know how to behave, but because your mercy endure forever, we give you all the glory. Lord, as we gather at your feet, speak to us. Quicken our heart. Lord, every area that we have been slacking, wake us up. Make us better. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you once again, man of God, for the privilege to share with the people of God this morning. When I was asking God what to share with you, being a mission day or international day, I could see it on the screen. The Lord wants me to share with you, focusing mainly on prayers and missions. Prayers and missions. As we all know, I remember I was here last year, and I shared with us some statistics of the condition of the harvest. And I shared with us, each and every one of us is called to serve. We are saved to serve. Because some Christians may say, oh, I'm not called a missionary. No, we are all called or saved to serve. To serve him. And we all know very well, as I shared also, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. You know, Jesus Christ was telling his disciples and the people what will be the signs of his second coming. And a lot of things he talked to them will happen. And they have been happening accurately since he left. Talk about famine, talk about wars, talk about diseases, pestilences, everything. And you agree with me that all of those things are happening before our very eyes. Okay? And he said something will wrap it up, which is found in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Can we project Matthew 24? 4? Okay. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Okay? How many people believe that Jesus, he says what he means, and he means what he says? Hallelujah. It's not out to excite anybody, to deceive anybody. He was speaking the mind of God. Okay? Said, the gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And I tried to explain, I remember the other time, you know, looking at that scripture, in all the world, it's talking about geographical locations. That's geography. Okay? In all the nations, in every continent of the world. In Europe, America, Asia, Africa, and every inhabitable continent. That's geography. And secondly, you talk about as a witness to all the nations. And if you study the original text, it's talking about ethnies. As a witness to all the ethnic tribes in the world. Okay? And then the end will come. I think the native Indians, the white, the black, you know, the Arabs, the Africans, the Babas, the Yorubas, the Igbos, the Hausas, the Fulanis. The gospel must be preached among even the Fulanis, the herdsmen. Okay? Among the militants, the Sunnis in Iraq and Syria, who formed ISIS. It won't come until the gospel is preached. Okay? So you might say, oh, that's a challenging task. Yes? He knows we can do it. He said, and then the end will come. I desire the Lord Jesus come. I pray about it. In fact, the early church have been praying, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Because his coming, his reign, will bring in lasting peace, joy, fulfillment. The world cannot get better. That's the truth. Because the man that will be in government is depraved. Okay? Satan is remotely controlling the people that are at the helm of affairs all over the world. That's why they say that politics is dirty, because the people that play it, they are off. So the reign of Christ is what will bring everlasting joy, everlasting peace. Okay? And that is tied to his second coming. And it won't come, no matter how hard you pray, until we fulfill this. Honestly. Because he cannot violate his word. He won't come in response to our tears. Oh, Boko Haram is killing us. Come, Lord Jesus. He won't come. Oh, ISIS is killing people, persecuting people. Jesus, please come. Put an end to it. He won't come until we fulfill this. So if the church will work strategically, we need to really arise to fulfill this mandate. And that's missions. Because the gospel have not been yet preached in all the nations. Yeah, people have toured all the world, geographical locations. There are great men of God, who Americans in particular, who have gone to all the nations of the world. Have Crusade and Bonke have traveled far and near. Okay? But Jesus won't come because all the ethnic tribes have not been reached with the gospel. And we need to sit down and see how we can strategically work and take the gospel to all the people groups. And I remember the other time I shared some statistics with us. Okay? Can we have the statistics? Is it ready? I let us know that God has helped some people. Okay. The global summary, an overview of the people groups of the world. So some people have done research. They have gone to every inhabitable continent in the world and made us to know that we have 17,000 and 16 people groups in the world. Okay? Including your home, where you come from. Whether Africa, whether Europe, whether America. So every ethnic tribes in the world is 17,016. And they have made us to understand that the people that have not been reached is 41.7% of that number of the people groups. Okay? So which means out of the population of about 7.5 billion people, we have about 3.14 billion that have not been reached with the gospel. And they have made us to understand where these people are. They have made us to know the block that they occupy, which have been identified as 1040 window. Do you remember? I think I shared something along that line the other time I came. Okay? The 1040 window nations. That's 10 degrees to 40 degrees north of the equator. The people that know a little bit of geography, we know that. That is the northern hemisphere. And those nations, they span from northwest Africa, all those countries like Morocco, Algeria, starting from the Gambia, Senegal, Guinea-Bissau, and all those nations, till you get to the Middle East, the Arabian Peninsula. Okay? And and then moving to Southeast Asia and to the Far East, to China, to North Korea. So those unreached people groups, they are within that block. And the gospel must get to them in the light of Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. So how do we get it? So no single church, no single organization can get the gospel to those people. It's not possible. No matter how highly anointed the founder is. So we need to collaborate. We need to work together. And part of working together is the people that did this research. Okay? They have done their own. They spent probably millions of dollars. They deploy resources to all those nations. That's why I always pray for America. Because America plays a leading role in everything on this earth. Today, American church have empowered people to do this research. Came out with facts and figures. Okay? And they are sharing it among churches. That look, everybody has a role to play. And that's part of what we are doing today. Big or small, everybody has a role to play. And if we are seeking the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have a role to play. As an individual, as the corporate body, we have a role to play. And part of the role to play today, which we'll be zeroing in, is on prayers. Prayers. I left some of these statistics. You can pick it if you are interested to know more. But you can go to www.joshuaproject.org. They are all there. In fact, all of us should note it if you know about internet, www.joshuaproject.org. You will get all the facts and figures there. So, but this morning our focus will be on prayer, and we are going to pray too. Why was prayer so important to this work? And if you look at Jesus Christ, when he was here physically, Jesus prayed more than he ministered. He prayed. In fact, someone said he planned and prayed for 30 years for a ministry of 3.5 years. And that ministry is still active today. So which means you cannot de-emphasize prayer in reaching the unreached people groups. Okay? And everybody can pray. Even the dumb can pray. It doesn't cost you money to pray. It will just cost you burden. If you carry the body on your heart, definitely you will pray. So Jesus Christ, the prayer life modeled by Jesus, he caught the attention of the disciples. You know what? The disciples, when Jesus was there physically, they never prayed. If you study the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they didn't pray. They were just enjoying themselves because the master Jesus was there. Okay? You hardly see, the only place where one could say probably they prayed before they slept off again was in the garden when Jesus Christ, Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus Christ was about to be arrested. And he went somewhere to pray and he left them, Peter, James, and John. He said, watch with me for a few hours. But they fell asleep. They have not caught the body. But you see, Jesus Christ, the Bible says he prayed that even the sweat dropping from his body, it was like a drop of blood. Body. So the disciples didn't pray when Jesus was here. But you know, at a point in time in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, they were so challenged because Jesus modeled prayer. He was a prayer machine. So they were so challenged, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And if you look at that very well, it's not asking them, I mean, they were not asking him, teach us how to pray. The scripture says, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Give us body to pray. It's different from teach us how to pray. Effective prayer is as a result of body. It's just like a pregnant woman, you know, that is carrying a seed. As the seed is growing, germinating, when the time of delivery come, it was not a cup of tea. There is groaning. There is stretching. Okay? So, we need body before we can effectively pray for missions and for missionaries. Does it mean that the church is not praying? Well, the church is praying, but our prayer focus on a scale of 5, I don't think is better than 2. Because, on a scale of 1 to 5. Because most of our prayers are self-focused. Most of our prayers are not intercessory. Our body, including groaning, is mainly for me, my family, my children, you know. And that is not what the Lord expects us to do, especially in response to his kingdom and his second coming. So, it is very important that we get it right. Why do we need to pray? The situation of the world, the harvest field, has been ripe. The field has been ripe for harvest, but we have not been gathering the harvest. And what is happening to the harvest? They are getting rotten. Honestly. The harvest is getting rotten. And when an harvest is rotten, what can you do? Can you use rotten tomato to cook? You throw it away. If we don't move into the harvest, it gets rotten. The situation of the unreached people groups today is too bad. Because we have not harvested them on time, Satan has gone there to harvest them. They are now radicalized. You know, as a Nigerian, when we were growing up, we have been living together with the Fulani X-Men. I mean, some of us who have a Nigeria background, we know. They carry their cattle everywhere. They don't carry AK-47. Okay? They use stick. You know, that's what we grow to know. But what do we have today? If you have been following the news, they kill at will. They maim, they leave destruction. And I want to believe that it's not just about cow. These are terrorists. Okay? So they have become rotten, radicalized. And you know what happened in the Middle East that is still even happening? See how the terrorists sacked the whole second largest region in Iraq? See what the magnitude of destruction before they could be expelled. Okay? So now tell me, how can missionary go there to harvest the Sunni Muslims there now? For almost 3 or 4 years that the battle had been going on before the city was liberated. Now imagine the number of souls that have been sent to hell. Now, can they send you as missionary to Mosul and you will agree to go? Yeah, so we need to wake up. The church needs to wake up. So prayer is very, very essential to really open up the unreached people groups wherever they are located. And even if you cannot go, if God has not called you, because the truth is, there are some people God has not put a definite call upon their lives to go. Okay? And if God has not put his definite call upon your hand to go, I don't even encourage you to venture into it. Because you might not make any impact. Okay? But there are some people that God has placed a call upon their lives to go. Then, people like that, they need to be prayed for. They need to be sent. It's just like in the physical army, and I always love to illustrate that using the U.S. Army. When you see all those young boys and girls in difficult areas of the world wearing the U.S. Army uniform, you know, it's a thing of pride to them. Even death is there. Each time I look at them, I say, oh, these young people, before you know it, some of the veterans you see, you know, I have a special respect for them. But they are going, they are putting their life in danger. But they know that the state has got their back. They are not the one that will go to Afghanistan and be looking for what to eat. Is that what happened? Is that what is happening? No. The soldier sent to Iraq is not the one that will be looking for money to pay his children's school fees. It's not the one that will be looking for money to pay his house rent or to buy a uniform. Or when he's sick, he'll be looking for money among his enemies to go to the hospital. So if in the physical army, that is not so. So in the spiritual army, that is what is happening. Those people that are laboring on the field, they have been abandoned. Even some of the careless church will say, can't they do something? They say, oh, Paul did tent making. And I always love to debunk that. Yeah. Because the record that we had about Paul's tent making was in Corinth, in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. There was no record I was doing that everywhere, in Galatia, in Colossae, in all the other places. And the people that talk like that are the people that refuse to play their role. Of course, it's fine. It's okay if you could do that. It's just like asking the U.S. soldier that went to liberate Mosul to look for a job from the ISIS control oil field because he read petroleum engineering. He go to the ISIS headquarters, say, well, I'm a U.S. Army, and I come to fight you guys, but I need a job. Yeah. So, but when the church plays its role very well, that will not happen. The man will be able to concentrate on the job of reaching souls, praying for souls, preaching to souls, following souls up day and night. He will carry that burden. So, but anyway, Jesus prayed, and that's why he was successful. At least he left 120 committed disciples. As we find in the book of Acts chapter 1, those who gathered at the upper room to pray. But if you look at the act of the apostle, prayer was mentioned 30 times in just 28 chapters. So which means when Jesus left and gave the commandments to the early apostles, they began to pray too. They knew that the party was over. The responsibility of reaching the nations had come on them, so they cannot but pray. So they began to pray. And if you look at Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, they gathered at the upper room and prayed and prayed and prayed until the Holy Spirit came. So Holy Spirit prayer preceded the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit will come too upon us, upon our work, upon our world, the church needs to pray. There's no other way. Thank God for all the fine things the church is doing. Praise God for that. But we need to pray. We need to pray and we need to pray. Prayer altars everywhere. And this is the era that prayer meeting, you hardly see people. You know? The attendance during the church services, you know, Sunday service, most churches, people are there to worship, fine, wonderful. But the Bible studies, you still see few who come to hear the word. But prayer meeting, especially if it is a prayer that is focused on intercession for others, the attendance always drop. If it is for needs, personal needs, or against the enemy, you see the whole place fill up. But I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. Other prayer of petitions, fine, it's okay. But the early church, let's look at the way they succeeded in their ministry. So they prayed and prayed and prayed, and the Holy Ghost came. Okay? In Acts chapter 1, 12 to 14. Then they prayed. Prayer preceded the release of signs and wonders. Okay? Someone says, or even in Operation World, they said, when men pray, God works. When men walk, they walk. But when men praise, God works. So prayer releases. It moves the hand of God to do what man cannot do. Except man is faking it. Signs and wonders, they are the follow-up or the after-effect of prayer. And I've been on the mission field for more than 20 years now. Nothing will convict these groups we are talking about like signs and wonders. Honestly. You want to get into argument with them? They don't want to listen. Okay? their belief and faith in their religion is even much more deeper than we that call ourselves Christians. They carry their book with honor and respect. They are ready to kill quite a number of people if anybody is accused that he tore or she tore the scripture. But one thing that is absent in their system of belief is signs and wonders. They could perform magic, which is a shallow thing anyway, but signs and wonders. Look at the early church. The Lord was working with them with signs and wonders following. And it's in response to prayers. So we cannot do otherwise. So we need to pray for signs and wonders. And then before they send out the first missionaries, it was during after the prayer meeting. If you look at Acts chapter 13, verse 2 to 3, the church gathered and the Holy Ghost spoke, they gathered in prayer and the Holy Ghost spoke, "Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to." So, prayer is very essential. And prayer preceded the breakthrough of the gospel into the most resistant people group of their own generation. And even this generation, most of these countries within the 1040 windows, Satan has built his stronghold there. As powerful as American army is, it cannot completely dislodge them. The more you kill them, the more they seem to be resurrecting. And I said, where is the church that will back up these people in prayers? Because the enemy that we are fighting against is not them per se. Let's leave the governments to deal with that. But the enemy that we are fighting is not flesh and blood. It's the devil. It's the one that radicalized them. Okay? So, if you don't deal with the devil, it's like you want to remove a tree from a location and you are cutting the branches. Okay? Soon, the tree will blossom again. But if you dig deeper, uproot the root, eat from the root, that tree will not never grow again. So when I see the church getting inflamed and begin to do all manner of things, say all manner of prayer against some of these people, I say, this is not how it happens. Let's address the spirit behind them. Yes. Some places like Nigeria, yeah, they are killing us, killing innocent people in churches, condemnable things. When you watch some of this, when you see some of these pictures, you get mad. I was in a meeting sometimes ago, you know, a Christian gathering, and that was when the Bauchi riot and they killed several people, roasted people, Christians. And they showed it. Of course, I couldn't even watch it. I had to walk out. And during the question and answer time, the brethren there, some of the younger people, you could see their muzzle doing like this. They asked the elders, say, please, why don't you get us gone to fight these people? So even if they give you a gun, can you begin to shoot and begin to kill? If you have it in self-defense, that's another thing. Jesus didn't ask us to do that. Okay? As the people you even want to fight and kill, they are dead men. They are looking for ways to die. You want to fight and live. They want to fight and die because they know when they fight in the course of their, you know, jihad, they go to paradise. No, those are the people you want to fight. I say, no, it doesn't happen like that. So, but let's pray. The God of heaven and the earth can help us. Okay? He can silence the mouth of the adversary. He can even save as many as possible among them. I have some Fulani colleagues who are missionaries. No brother Umar who work with our organization. Some Fulani. So when you now begin to kill all the Fulani, will you kill brother Umar and his family? I have some Hausa brethren who serve as missionaries. We have some who are Christians. Are you going to kill them too? There's a better way to deal with it, and it's through prayer. So the Lord will give us burden. So prayer preceded the breakthrough of the gospel into the unreached people groups. And let's pray. Let's pray. Let the kingdom be the first thing in our heart when we are praying. Let's pray for those people that are laboring to extend the frontier of the kingdom. The church in America is blessed, and over the years, Christianity has been here. I believe it wasn't like this before, but due to the labor and effort of the early fathers of faith, we are enjoying, you know, the fruits of their labor. But a responsibility has been committed to us too. If the faith will not die, we need to pray. Now, it has been said that Western world, Europe, especially, and America too, they are in their post-Christian era. They have been Christian before, but now the experience is being lost. So we need a reawakening. We need a reawakening. Because we don't have the strength to stand against the evil of Satan manifesting all these violent religions, except the Lord help us. Honestly, except the Lord help us. And we are not saved in our comfort zone if we don't take the battle to the gate of the enemy. And it is why we are praying we take the battle to the gate of the enemy. The Lord will wake us up. So the responsibility today is on us to pray. To pray for nations. To pray for the unreached people group. Because if we don't pray, even if we spend money, you know, I've been interacting with some missionaries from the West, even in Africa. Some of them spend a lot of money, millions and millions, but less prayer. And it's like social work, which at times make me sad. There are some organized Christian children fund. I believe the founding fathers, their goal was to reach the children through that fund, Christian children fund. You know, they have changed it to children's fund. They removed the Christian. And the Muslims are the one managing the thing in the Gambia, in Senegal, and some other places I know. Nothing about Jesus Christ has been said. And some organizations like World Vision, they have fantastic budgets in millions and millions of dollars. They do social work. Feed the hungry, excellent thing. The Apostle Paul said, even if I allow myself to be born, And it doesn't produce the righteousness of Christ in them. Then it amounts to nothing. Okay? So we need prayer for a reawakening. Okay? And the rest minute I have, we are going to be on our feet to pray. I want us to pray some quick prayers for missions and missionaries. At least if that will be your contribution, my desire is that it will not end here. You live with the body to remember missionaries in your prayers. Could be 2 minutes, and you can make that commitment. You go to Joshua Project, pick the information, nation by nation. All the people groups that are not being reached, you can be even projecting them and be raising prayer 2 minutes, 3 minutes during your meetings. So the first prayer I want us to pray for missionaries and some of these unreached people groups is that every satanic hold over nations to be removed in the name of Jesus. So I want us to pray. Pray that prayer. Command every hold of Satan upon nations to be weakened. Every veil to be removed. In Jesus' name we pray. And secondly, I want us to pray for the harvest of nations into the kingdom. And that includes the people we have seen as enemies. The Fulanis, the Sunni Muslims, the Arabs in Afghanistan and other regions. Pray that they shall be harvested into the kingdom. You know, Psalm 2, it says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. So I want us to pray. Pray for all those nations, the ones you could remember. North Koreans, the rocket man, Jesus died for him too. Ask God to harvest them. Pray that the Lord will empower the church to harvest those nations into the kingdom. Thirdly, I want you to pray for more laborers into the harvest field. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the kingdom. Pray for laborers. The youths in particular, to be interested in missions. Professionals, doctors, nurses, to go to the unreached world to go and preach the gospel with their skill. Evangelists, miracle workers, pastors. Lord, we receive more laborers into the harvest field. This morning, in the name of Jesus, quicken the heart of men and women, young and old, to serve you among the unreached nations. Speak to the heart of people, Lord. We thank you, Father. I want us to take this time to pray for safety of missionaries on the field. Before we pray, just listen to this story. I have a friend who is a missionary. He came home for holiday and was going back to the north. Okay, he left his wife and the children in the south. On his way, his vehicle had a breakdown. He came down to fix it, and that's how the S-men met him, and they slaughtered him there. The wife and the children, young children, he left them behind without saying bye-bye. Those are the dangers that missionaries face. So I want you to pray for safety of missionaries in most of this region. They work like spies for Christ, and the enemy is looking for their head. So I want us to pray for them. Lord, we commit missionaries into your hand. Those who are laboring in difficult regions, hostile regions. Father, keep them. Secure their lives. Watch over them. Give your angels charge over them. We pray for divine covering upon them and their family. Lord, let your glory be their defense. We commit them into your hand, O God, for safety, for protection. We know that you will do it. Thank you, Father Lord. I want us to pray for signs and wonders among the unreached people. Jesus Christ said, these people will not believe except they see signs and wonders. Ask God to stretch forth his hand to do miraculous things as missionaries preach the gospel among the unreached. Lord, we pray that you will stretch forth your hand to do signs and wonders among the unreached people groups. As your missionaries preach the gospel, let the sick be healed. Let the dead be raised back to life. Let the lame walk. Do mighty things through all your servants that are laboring in all the unreached people groups. Thank you because you will do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Two more prayers before I take my seat. I want us to pray against evil regimes in the world today. There are some government that they don't want the gospel to come. There are some nations that it's an offense to preach the gospel and convert the indigenous. No church is allowed in Saudi Arabia. And Jesus said we should go to all the world. Mauritania in Africa, you know, it's an offense to convert any Mauritanian. So pray that every regime that is not of God, that is anti-gospel, anti-Christ, command God to remove them. There must be a change in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray against every evil regime that is anti-gospel, anti-Christ. We command them to crumble in the name of Jesus. In all the unreached people group, within the 1040 windows, every government that is legislating against the preaching of the gospel, we sack them by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we replace them this morning. We replace all those regimes in the name of Jesus. And we declare that the gospel will penetrate in every nook and corner of this world. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Lastly, I want you to pray for yourself. You know, we can listen to this and cry and say, God, help me. I will be praying. I will be giving. I will go. But when you step out, the pressures of life make us to forget that. Pray that the Holy Spirit will sustain this body in your heart. That it will be a pregnancy you are carrying to pray for missions, to pray for missionaries, to pray for all the laborers among the unreached people group. So I want us to begin to pray that you will commit yourself to the work of missions. That you'll be praying that every blessing God give you will remember missions and missionaries in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless your name, Lord. Let's just give thanks to the Most High God. Ask God, just bless his holy name. Thank you, Father. We appreciate you.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Join me, let's thank God. Let's pray for this missionary. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your son, your servant that has answered the call for missions, international missions. Father, thank you for the price he's paid to carry his wife and children into dangerous territories in Gambia. Father, thank you even now for the burden you've laid on his heart to touch areas in Nigeria and every other place you're sending him. Today we thank you for awakening our hearts and giving us burdens to stand in the gap and to cover those who are in the forefront. Father, we use him as a point of contact. We say, remember your covenant. Remember your covenant that you will go before him. You will go with him to the uttermost part of the earth. And nothing shall by any means hurt him. Father, thank you. Thank you for the mantle, a fresh anointing to overcome all the tyrannies of missions. Father, thank you for divine provisions. Thank you for awakening hearts of men and women who are willing to say, I will go with you in the way, best way I can, with my prayers and with my resources. We bless your son. We bless your servant. And we say, Father, may you keep your covenant. You said you will go with him even to the ends of the earth. And we thank you for it. We bless his family. We bless his children. We bless his ministry with your presence. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.